Thank you. Can everyone hear me? Yeah, okay. I'm Haley. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Haley.
Hi. Welcome, everyone, especially the newcomer, anyone if it's their first time at a meeting. I know it's scary, but hopefully I say something that maybe you can identify with or make some sort of sense. If not, talk to someone after the meeting. I'll start, I guess, with my sobriety date is January 12th, 2013. So I just had 3 years, which was cool. Thank you. I have a sponsor. I have a home group, which is here. And so that's kind of the basics. I like to kind of start these out with a little blurb from the AA Big Book, which is what we call our literature, which describes how this program works, if you don't know. And it's just in this chapter called There's a Solution, and it says, if you are as seriously alcoholic as we were, we believe there's no middle-of-the-road solution. We were in a position where life was becoming impossible, and we had passed into the region from which there was no return through human aid. We had but two alternatives. One was to go on to the bitter end, blotting out the consciousness of our intolerable situation as best we could, and the other is to accept spiritual help. This we did because we honestly wanted to, and we were willing to make the effort. I just read that just because that kind of describes what it was like for me when I came to these rooms, right? When I was first introduced to AA, I didn't stay sober, but when I came into these rooms and was at the point 3 years ago where my life was impossible and I had passed into the region beyond human aid, which I thought was, like, really dramatic at the time, but it was kind of also true, like, in the depths of, like, my self-pity and despair, I was like, there is no way out of this, like, massive hole I've dug myself into, like we call like the bitter morass of self-pity, like that's really what it felt like, just totally in total desperation. And I essentially had the choice to go on to the bitter end, which I also thought was dramatic, but because like experience showed, you know, this disease was something that was deadly for me, you know, I didn't die, but like, you know what I mean, like there are times where it was close, and or to accept spiritual help. And later in the book, it talks about for some reason with alcoholics, those aren't always two easy alternatives to choose between, which I always think is kind of funny because it's like, I feel like any normal person, it's like, okay, here's this, what you're doing, and either you can keep doing that and die, or, you know, be open to a spiritual solution and, like, just even think about it for a minute. And most people, if they were like, oh, what I'm doing is going to kill me, then yeah, I'll stop, I'll be open to a spiritual solution. But for some reason as alcoholics, we're just like, I don't know, like, let me think about that, like, I don't know, that doesn't sound like that easy or that great, maybe I'll just go on to the bitter end. But literally, like, I remember thinking that in some of my first meetings, being like, maybe it wasn't that bad just because I don't want to look at this, like, spiritual program. The steps, there's the God all over the steps, and that really scared me when I got in. Anyway, okay, so that was kind of a tangent. So I guess I'll just say briefly what it was like and what happened, and then I'll tell you briefly what it's like now. I don't know, I grew up, in, I guess, kind of a normal family. Married parents, they're not alcoholics. Turns out it skips a generation, so that's cool. Both their parents are alcoholics. So I was like, oh, so my kids are going to be fine. I have two younger brothers. You know, it's just like a normal American thing, I guess. And I grew up in Salt Lake City, Utah. And not really I didn't grow up being raised religiously at all, but Just being there, I grew up in a school where it was like a very religiously run school. So a lot of it I just absorbed. But I didn't like know anything about, so I'd make up all these ideas about God or about religion that I had just like heard in passing, or people told me that like God thinks what I'm doing is wrong, so it must be wrong. So I just kind of like, you know, took what people were saying as truth on like faith and religion and whatever. But as a result, just like I remember from a very young age, just not being a part of that culture. You know, you're not invited to all the cool camping trips everyone's going on every weekend, or all the cool youth groups that everyone's doing, or even like some birthday parties. Like, I got sent home from a birthday party once because I was wearing shorts that weren't down to my knee, and I was like 7, and I was just like, okay, you know, whatever. But I just felt like really excluded and really different, like from day one, kind of. And I didn't really notice that. Like, I just thought that's how it was, kind of, until I came into this program. I didn't really notice what that feeling was, you know what I mean? I just thought, like, fuck you, world. Like, you're all against me. I'm just going to do my own thing. And, you know, also when I was young, my younger brother had rheumatoid arthritis and was in the hospital for a year and a half. And he's fine now, but I was in like first and second grade, and I only say that because my parents were like taking care of him during that whole time, so I really learned how to just like take care of my own shit, like don't be bothersome, don't show emotion, like that's going to be a burden on everyone else if I cause like any more stress to the family type of thing, so just be cool. And anyway, so, you know, I'm kind of like going along with my life with those, you know, I don't know. I was just going along. And then when I was 13 is when I had my first drink. And, you know, I didn't know what an alcoholic addict was. I didn't know really anything about it. I didn't even know how to drink. So it was kind of funny because an older friend suggested that I, like, take a few tequila shots before a birthday party of another friend. And I was like, that sounds great, because I don't really want to go, and I don't know, like, why not? You know, I was just kind of like, why not? Like, and she was like, yeah, just take, like, 2 or 3 shots, like, you'll be fine. It's like, okay, so I went down to my parents' liquor cabinet or whatever, or drawer, I think it was a drawer, and, like, I, like, knew where it was. I just took it up to my room, and I literally, like, sat in my closet by myself, like, the first time I drank, and I didn't know how to drink, because my parents, like, you know, would drink beer or whatever. I'd never seen someone, like, drink shots. So I took, like, 2 or 3 shots, which I think I, like, filled up the whole, like, glass thing, and I was like, I don't know, and I was like, ooh, like, refreshing down my throat. Like, I immediately liked it, but I was, like, 3 shots. I was, like, sitting there and just, like, well, that didn't work, so I, like, proceeded to take a bunch more, and I'm laughing now, but at the time, it's, like, kind of pathetic, because I was just in my closet, like, by myself, like, pouring, like, shots of tequila, which I'm like, who does that for their first drink? Like, I don't know, it's just weird, so, but whatever, and, so, anyway, I go to the party, I'm all of a sudden loving all these people that I normally hate, you know? I'm all of a sudden like, these people are actually like, whatever, like they're kind of fun. I feel fun, like I'm totally hot shit, like 13 years old, like pre-puberty essentially, like just like, I'm so cool, fucking everyone wants me, like literally, that's what I thought. And like, I brought a water bottle, but full of beer to the thing. Like, I didn't know like what I was doing. Like, but I was like, this is tight. I love it. And like, I think all the parents knew because I was just sloppy. And it was like parentally chaperoned. And then I go home and I proceed to drink more and pass out because I was like, dude, like, why not have more? Like, I'm feeling good. And also, I was like concerned the whole night that I got to a certain point and then it was like wearing off. I was like, no, 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 no. Like, don't wear off at all. Anyway, so that was my first drink. And I was just immediately like, this is dope. Like, but, you know, it's more of just like, it's like what people talk about. It just kind of, you know, gave me some peace and comfort that I had never really felt before. Like, it was kind of a silly story, but also there's a big part of me that, like, finally felt okay with, like, being in my skin for a minute, right? Like, that was a big thing growing up before then. I, like, never was very confident, never very comfortable with who I was, and all of a sudden for a few hours I was like, whew, like, I could take a breath and relax and just, like, be, in my mind, present in the world, even though I was really drunk. But, yeah, so... Anyway, I feel like I'm kind of droning on about random stuff. Okay, so I'll speed it up. But so that happened. And then essentially what happened after that was wreckage began to be caused. I quickly found other drugs, like first marijuana, and then you find ecstasy, and then you find cocaine, like, you know, the whole progression. I don't know. I mean, that's how I progressed. And I just kept wanting to do more and more and more and get these different feelings. I mean, I really liked, you know, just having something to calm me down, but, you know, find the perfect balance where I could, you know, get high, like, before school, or get stoned before school, but then take something to, like, make myself even and normal, and I'd find, like, perfect combinations where I could be stoned but then present at school, or, like, go to softball practice. I literally just immediately was like, I need to feel like this all the time, right? And at first it was great because I was just like, I'm feeling good, I'm comfortable, I would feel great, but at the same time, like, none of my friends drank and used, right? I mean, as you could see, I was, like, in my closet and, by myself. And so, like, none of my friends, especially just at the school I went to and in that culture, too, is, like, it's very frowned upon to drink and do drugs, especially at that young age, and especially if you're a girl. So I just, like, really didn't tell anyone. And I just did almost all of it by myself. And, like, once I got to high school, it was a lot easier to find drugs from all the public school kids, you know. It's like, oh, I'm so cool. I'm hanging out with public school kids. God, I was such a snob. I immediately had this, like, great amount of shame also around what I was doing, because I was like, I feel like what I'm doing this is wrong, and, like, what happens when I'm doing it, like, quickly, I don't know, maybe some of the women in the room can relate, and the men, anyone can relate to this, but I found out ways to manipulate people into getting me drugs and alcohol, you know what I mean? And that's, like, that started a progression of doing things I really, like, you know, today, sitting here sober, I'm like, I never would want to do that. Like, that's not the kind of woman I want to be. But I would do that to get drugs and alcohol because, you know, $20 of my lunch money every week only goes so far, right? And so it's like, seriously. And, like, then, you know, so, I mean, it all kind of started with, you know, I'd, like, start stealing from drug dealers or whatever to get more. And at the time I was kind of like, in my mind, I had never, like, stolen anything before, but in my mind in that moment, and I knew stealing was wrong. I mean, I know we're talking about stealing drugs from a drug dealer, so there's a whole thing there, but I knew stealing was wrong. But then in my mind I was like, no, it's fine, like, I can justify this action because, you know, I'm just taking something to, I don't know, like, I all of a sudden I was just doing all these things that I, like, all of a sudden was fine with, you know. It was always like, okay, maybe I'll, like, as soon as I do this, then I know I'm bad. Like, as soon as I start going to school high, then I know I'm bad. Oh, and then I do that. Okay, as soon as I start going out and getting high at lunch, oh, I know I'm bad. But then I do that, and I kind of keep lowering and lowering the bar for myself. And so I'd start stealing from people. I started, like, then I would have kind of a new, like, boyfriend of the month that would, like, be, like, selling pot or something dumb. And, like, then I'd have drugs with from him and alcohol from him. And then at one point I remember, and this was really, like, a huge low for me because it was kind of, like, it was definitely spiraling really, really quickly, right? I started using when I was 13. And I was sent to rehab at 16, so... My using and drinking career wasn't that long, but I just started, like, knowing that I needed it, but being like, oh, I can kind of stop at any time, you know what I mean? Being like, I'm just choosing to do this so much, but at the same time being like, a little bit concerned that I was the only one I knew that was drinking and using this much and this often. But I was at, like, this one particular point kind of showed, like, how it went from, like, kind of hysterical and innocent, like, drinking by myself in a way, to, like, really fucking depressing. It was, like, I was at this, I, like, had met this guy or whatever, and I was complaining to him about, like, no, I never have money. And he was like, well, why don't you just start, you know, having sex for money, right? And so I was like, right. And at that point in my life, I was like, oh, I've already done all this shitty stuff. Like, I've already used drugs. I've already had sex. Like, I'm so bad. Like, blah, blah, blah. That, like, it doesn't really matter what I do now because, like, I'm fucked anyway. That was, like, kind of my mindset. So I started. And so I was like, oh, yeah, having sex for money. I'm like, that's a great idea. Like, for some reason, all of a sudden, like, that's what I'm talking about. All of a sudden, these ideas seem, like, logical, right? And I, and that was also, and this is in Salt Lake City, and I was, like, 15 years old. And I just kind of joined, it's, like, weird to almost say out loud, but it's, like, I joined this group. He had, like, other underage girls that were having sex with older men for money, so in downtown Salt Lake on the weekends. And so I did that for, like, 7 months, 6 or 7 months that, where I almost dissociated from that person I was. Like, every weekend I just, for some reason, I don't know why, my parents, like, didn't really catch on to what I was doing, because I'd be like, I'm sleeping over at so-and-so's house on Friday and Saturday night, and I'd just take the little, like, light rail down to Salt Lake and, like, be in a hotel room with him and these other girls, and he'd pimp us out, and then I'd go home. And then, like, early in the morning, and sneak back in, and, like, so, I don't know, and I, like, would do that on the weekends, and then in the week, I, like, wouldn't even think about that, or I wouldn't even think about these things I was doing. I was like, that's not me. Like, I don't know if anyone else can relate to this, but it was just this weird thing. Like, I didn't really know who I was. I didn't know it was true and false anymore. Like, I was just doing what was absolutely necessary to get drugs and alcohol. Like, I had gotten to that point. And it was really, and I remember, like, one of the first nights I did that, just, like, curling up in a ball on my floor and just feeling that, like, total despair of, like, why am I doing this? And, like, I want to get high, but I don't want to be doing this to get high, right? And I was like, wow, holy fuck. Like, I couldn't believe, like, where I had gone in literally such a short amount of time. But then I also felt so trapped because I was just like, this is all there is. Like, I cannot, like, and I will not stop using and drinking. Like, I just won't because, like, I cannot, you know, at that point, you, like, try to be sober for a day or something, and you're, like, so uncomfortable, you can't even stand it for a minute. And so it's, like, I mean, that's how I was. So I was, like, there is no other option but to drink and use, and I have to do this to do it. So, like, I was just totally, like, curled up in a ball, like, fetal position, like, crying because I just felt so trapped by this, right? And I did not know there was a way out. I did not know there was a solution. I thought this was my life, and that's it. And I got really suicidal, and that's, like, the suicidal part is what made my parents send me to treatment, right? Because it was just, like, that's when they saw, like, the danger, I guess, in my, that I've been creating in my life. And, you know, I, and in the process, I'm, like, glossing over a lot, but in the process, you know, I'm really, like, hurting my family, especially, like, multiple times where I'd be like, fuck you, I'm going out, like, and them just, like, crying, like, I don't know if you guys, like, I can just remember their faces when I'd do something to them that, like, hurt them, and they were so sad, and they just wanted to help me, and I was just like, fuck you, like, they, like, just that hurt and despair in their faces that, like, totally just killed me, and is, yeah, but anyway, so they had me legally kidnapped and sent to treatment, which was a lot of fun, and I was there, I was at, like, a long-term treatment center for 2 years, kind of introduced into the program, but at the time I was like, I am smart as shit, and I have done a lot of therapy, so I, like, came in, they made me go to AA meetings on, like, visits and outings and stuff, but I was like, I've already done therapy, so, like, I don't need to do the steps. Literally, like, in my mind, I just thought that. Like, I didn't understand the importance of the steps in the program. I was like, I know everything, so it's fine. So self-knowledge does not work, as you can see. So that happened for 2 years, and I went to college and stayed sober like another semester. So I had like 2 years of clean time essentially, but it was kind of forced, you know what I mean? Like my parents sent me, didn't really want to do it, didn't really care, but it had gotten me out of that, like directly out of that pit of despair for the time being. But then as soon as something came up that was hard to deal with, I had no solution, and I just wanted to escape. I just wanted to feel okay. So all I knew is drugs and alcohol, so I ended up using again. And quickly kind of was like, shit, okay, fuck. Like, the disease became really real in that moment for me, because immediately after 2 years of therapy and self-love and clean time and whatever, I all of a sudden, like, really was like, fuck. Like, I just, like, had a little sip of liquor. Now I, like, woke up after a blackout, and now I need to, like, go get this, this, and this, and do this, this, and this to, like, you know, I was like, I'm just going to go back into prostitution, which was, like, such a hard thing, like, for me to even fathom, like, I don't know. And I was just like, but all of a sudden it was okay again, right? Like, all of a sudden, and I just saw the reality of the disease, and I was like, and except for this time, rather than just feeling like trapped, like, oh, this how it's going to be, or I'm going to kill myself. Luckily, I'd been in these rooms and seen some, especially women, and I was like, holy, like, they were happy. They had the little spark in their eye or whatever. Like, they were okay, really. Like, what I was looking for in drugs and alcohol, that peace and calm and just okayness, like, wasn't there anymore in drugs and alcohol at all. And so, anyway, that happened, and so luckily I'd seen these rooms. I was like, fine, I'll fucking go back to AA, and I just like dived into the program, because I was at this point of like understanding that like the three parts of the disease we kind of talk about, this physical allergy, mental obsession, and spiritual malady, where like the physical allergy is okay, like once you take a drink, like then the phenomenon of craving develops, like I take a drink and the drink takes me kind of thing. Like, you can't stop once you start. And the mental obsession is kind of like, it talks about it in the big book, but it's like, you know, you're so restless, irritable, discontent that like you are desperately seeking the effect that comes with that first few drinks where you're just calm and cool and like obsessed with that feeling, right? Because you're like so bleh on the inside. I don't know how else to say it, but just like, oh, like restless, irritable, discontent. And then the spiritual malady is the whole, like, I don't really have a defense against the first drink. Like, I had been clean for 2 years and I thought I was all good. And then I was like, one bad thing happens. Like, I literally like broke up with a boyfriend that I had for like 4 months. And like, but it was the end of the world. And I like drank because I was like depressed for a day. You know what I mean? And so anyway, so luckily, like, you know, those parts of this disease are totally addressed in this program. And this is the only program, program I've ever found relief in for this addiction. Because first of all, I learned what alcoholism was, like what I just said. Because I didn't know it was a disease. I didn't know, like, other people had it. I didn't know AA was a thing. I literally did not know. And then there are all these meetings all around. I was like, what the hell? This is some secret society, like, cult shit. This is weird. And I've been, like, walking past an AA meeting every day for my whole life, turns out. You know what I mean? Like, and I just thought, I don't know. So it's just weird. And, like, and I'm connected with other people who we, like, share the same, you know, disease. We share the same spiritual malady, which is huge for me, because I don't feel so alone in this anymore. Like, anyway, so essentially, like I kind of said at the beginning, I was like, fuck this. I'm not going on to the bitter end. I'm, you know, not killing myself. Like, I guess I have to accept spiritual help. Like, I have no other ideas. I'm not creative enough to think of anything else. And you guys seem to know what's going on because I've seen it work with people, or you guys look normal and cool. And, you know, and you look like you're just okay. And that's really all I wanted. And I really was like, my goal, my first day of sobriety was like, I just want to be happy for like literally 5 minutes one day. I said that, and my sponsor was like, okay, but like, let's maybe talk about your disease. But I was like, but that's where it had taken me. Just like no peace, no joy, like no happiness. And And so I found a sponsor, which if you don't know, I mean, we'll explain it in a little bit, someone will, but it's just like, for me, I was told, like, find someone, a woman who, for me, I was told to find a woman who you want what she has, and she'll guide you through this book. I tried reading it at first, and I read the There is a Solution chapter first, and I was like, that said nothing about a solution. Like, literally, there was zero information in there. I was like, I always thought it was so dumb. But then I went through it with a sponsor. It was, like, my favorite chapter. I'm like, it's all highlighted. Like, there's so much good stuff in here. Like, so it does not make sense, I swear to God, until you literally read it with someone. And you don't even, I was told, like, you don't have to commit. Because even then, when I was like, you know what, I don't even know if I want spiritual help, like, they were like, don't even commit, like, go through the book with a sponsor and see how you feel, right? Like, it's not a total requirement to be, like, when you walk into these rooms, be like, I just want to be sober 100% for the rest of my life. Like, it wasn't a requirement for me. Like, it was just like, you know what? Are you fucking out of ideas? Great. Like, try our idea and see where you're at after 12 steps. Like, and lo and behold, like, my life, I mean, my life is not perfect right now, and, like, I continue to work with a sponsor and work through these steps and work through things as they come up, but, like, it's crazy because I even was, like, I can be up here and talk to you guys about this, first of all, which is weird, but cool. And also, I don't know, it's just, like, I've made so many great, like, honestly, even just relationships with people in this program, like, I can finally connect to other people, right? I never felt like I had that before. I never felt like I had a one-on-one connection with, you know, another woman as a friend, significant others, like, you know, nothing like that. And I've learned how to do this in the program. And, like, I never thought, you know, something so abstract as, like, spirituality would be able to relieve me from this disease that felt so, like, concrete in my life and so just, like, painful and in the moment. I was like, how can something vague, like a higher power, help me with that? But that's what it says. Like, that's what this book is about. The purpose is to help you find a power greater than yourself that can help you solve your problems. Like, it literally says that. So I don't know. I'm just up here to say, like, my life is not, like, life doesn't get better, but you get better, right? So, like, life shit happens, and it sucks sometimes, but, like, I don't have to drink over it. I don't have to use over it. I don't have to, like, go do something I don't want to do over that. And I don't know. I'm just really grateful to be here and be able to now, like, I just moved to New York a few months ago, but I did that because, like, I got to a place where, because of the foundation I built in AA, I was able to, like, move away and, like, do my thing here and stuff like that. And I don't know. It's just, AA is really cool. It seems crazy. Like, if you think it's weird and it's not going to work, cool. Like, I was there. And, like, sometimes can still be there. Like, I'll be like, no. But, you know, I mean, if you're new, like, what I was told was just find someone to have, like, go out, have coffee with, have lunch with, and just talk to about the program and read the book with them. Like, literally, that's all you need to do. Like, that's the only requirement. Or not even requirement, just, like, that's the only action I was told to even take. And then make your decision after. Like, I love this program. Like, anyway, now I'm just droning. I know I'm over my time. But anyway, thank you, and I think that's all I have to say.